Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the World Building Podcast, where we throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today, we will finally be discussing body modification in the fantasy setting.
Ethan has been obsessed with body mods for so long.
It's so cool.
He's been pitching this since we started this podcast, and I have passed
the first topic that I came up with.
And I was like,
I want to talk about this. Nope. I want to talk about fucking magic tattoos. I want to talk about fucking armor limbs. I want to do Full Metal Alchemist. I want to talk about all that. I think it's
I'm on the other end of the spectrum, and I'm just like, I am not at all keen on body mods. I've always been just like so disinterested in it. But I was like, I have an idea for body mods now. And Ethan just goes, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's finally happening.
It's finally happening. So here we are. Because I always associate it, like, I think everyone does, cyberpunk.
Right. It's much more of a cyberpunk bleeding into sci-fi trope than it is in the fantasy world, right?
Yeah, like fantasy world, it's hard to achieve because it's usually means removing a limb and replacing it with another limb, removing an eye, and like you have like a, you know, like a fake eye or like robots or like cyborg people are you know, that's what we're moving towards, as like androids,
right?
As opposed to like
transcendence.
Yeah, like removing your arm and replacing it with a fucking sword.
Yeah.
Just like a iron sword.
Yeah. Which it has been done, but like, I mean, I mean this manifests much more frequently in anime and comic books than it does in traditional Lord of the Rings style fantasy trip, right?
Yeah,
So, I mean, even in Mass Effect, there are the biotics. There, you know, like you can have biotics implanted, right?
Yeah.
In comics, you've got Wolverine, probably the most famous with the adamantium skeleton. In sci-fi and Star Trek, you've got the Borg. Luke is a cyborg. He has a Luke Skywalker in Star Wars as a cyborg. Darth Vader is a cyborg. These are all bodily modified. These are all
body mods.
Body mods, thank you. In anime, you've got Yu-Gi-Oh! I mean, from when we were...
What? Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Have body mods?
The evil genius Maximo and Pegasus, he has the eye.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he has like one of the golden eye.
I for like how good the premiere of Yu-Gi-Oh was the show, I don't know that I even finished the first season. I don't know how far it went.
It got insane and weird. But I just I think remember that's probably that what this happened. Guy was had like a gold eye.
The premiere was first class. And then I think everybody probably fell off as he like, I remember him going, you have to go in the island. He had to do a bunch of duels. A
lot of duels.
And then you like went to the castle eventually.
Yeah.
I think
where I lost it.
I think
there was something about there were the items, but then there was also the god cards. And I got very confused about that.
They lost the plot.
Yeah. They lost the plot.
Quite literally. But, iconic.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Blue eyes, white dragon, baby.
Trying to figure out how this works in a fantasy setting has been something, or ways that it could work in a fantasy setting has been something that I've been wanting to talk about. I think one of the better versions of it actually came out recently in Breath of the Wild, which I haven't played, but I've seen concept art for, where Link actually has one of his arms replaced with a like magically powered stone arm.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
Like D&D and Tasha's Cauldron and everything introduced magic tattoos and the armor artificer, which can replace your, right? Like,
yeah,
there are ways to do it, and it's like, this is the time. Let's have this conversation. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's plenty of examples. We can probably just get into the menus here. Give me your descriptor.
Friendly tumors.
Gotta love them. They're so friendly.
They're so friendly. What about you?
Sauron is open for business. That's my descriptor.
I got it. Okay. I think I know where you're going with it.
Okay.
And I think it's super cool. But
we'll see. It is.
I could be way wrong.
It's probably not the most accurate descriptor I could use, but I wanted to invoke Sauron.
I don't care.
So
I don't care. I fucking let's go. This is so cool. So I'm going first. I'm so excited, Kyle. You have no idea. I'm so fucking excited.
He's talking way faster than normal. His demeanor has shifted so significantly. He's like a child on Christmas.
And it was so hard coming up with this topic. Like because I have so many ideas. A lot of them have actually already been done, which is kind of the hard part. Like I had, you know, like,
well, that's just this, that's the nature of the beast.
Absolutely.
Half of our ideas have probably been done by somebody in some obscure fanfic or some prominent novel, like Game of Thrones, and we just missed it.
Yep. I reverse engineered my way into a magical tattoo artist who would give people powers by tattooing them, but it wasn't the tattoos that were magical, it was that he was magical. And then turns out that X-Men did it. And I was like, oh, great. Well, that's fucking...
It's a cool idea, though.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's great. And, like, he tattooed the Phoenix symbol over somebody. And so they got, like, fake Phoenix powers, like Jean Grey. I was like, ah, that's fucking cool. Like, that's also probably the most dangerous person on that world. They should be fucking monitored. But...
Murdered.
So, after going through a myriad of ideas very, very quickly and realizing that I was just... you know, making the Pontiac Aztec all over again.
Our favorite reference.
This world is inspired by it's a combination of two primary sources. One is the Witchblade series, which is from the early aughts. It was a comic book series about a woman... a detective named Sarah Pizzini who finds a magic item called the Witchblade, and it bonds with her sort of like Venom in the symbiote, and it kind of takes over her arm and her whole body, and she can use it to make different weapons and things.
Yeah.
So inspired by Witchblade / the Venom symbiote from the Marvel world, mm-hmm. Spider-Man, and his Dark Materials.
Okay.
Which is the Philip Pullman series where children, people are born... and a demon spirit manifests alongside them and grows and takes on a final permanent form when they reach adulthood.
As an animal.
I am imagining here a world where when a child is born, they also either manifest or are bonded with a spirit entity. So I haven't quite decided. I don't think it makes too much of a difference if it manifests or if it's part of a ritual to bond them to another spirit, right?
Yeah.
This spirit starts off as a little bracelet or a necklace or something innocuous, harmless on the child's body. And as they grow together. So physically, they are growing together. They have a bond. They can communicate telepathically. But the point of as you grow and develop as a person throughout this magical / warrior culture, the entity, much like the demon spirits in Philip Pullman's world, can be flexible when you're a child. As you get older, it takes on a final form.
Okay.
So it will take a place of if it responds to a need. To something that you are doing specifically. So it might be that it takes over and becomes your eye and gives you incredibly enhanced eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It could take over your hands to make them, you know, like rock so that you can box.
Right. It could be that it takes over and they become sort of vestigial wings, or they give you
or it gives you like like spider feet so you can climb up walls.
Right.
It could be anything.
Or it gives you, maybe it takes over your teeth so that you can chew through anything, right? Like, and
yeah.
It sort of responds to this need. So you, as a result, you have this incredibly diverse world where
everyone has a body mod. That is significant
to them
and most of the time potent.
Correct.
But you might get a weird one where like you kept picking your teeth. You kept getting something stuck in your teeth. So they just gave you like a toothpick for a finger. And now you have like a one toothpick finger and you're like, well, that's your body mod now.
And but maybe you can also use that to be a thief.
Exactly.
And like, pick locks.
You could repurpose them, but then you get them compared to the person who gets flight.
Right.
And you're like, well, that seems more powerful than what I got, but all right.
Maybe you get someone who just gets a new nose and it's like part of their face. And it's like, oh, but they have this incredible sense and tracking ability.
Yeah. Cause you get people who get to blend in with like their body mod is so subtle. Nobody knows what it is.
Right.
It's like, oh, actually I have supersonic hearing. You cannot talk about me without me knowing.
Right. It's like in my ear canal.
Yeah. Or it's a brain thing where like I'm
eidetic memory now.
Yeah. Or I'm telepathic or whatever.
Right. Or I'm a mentat. Right. I like I can do math.
I feel like it might be helpful to put a limitation on it regarding the brain.
I think that's fair.
Because then you just get into, like, everyone's Charles Xavier.
Yeah.
And that's broken.
Well, and that's why I didn't want it to be something that you could control.
Yeah, it's random.
It's not random.
Okay, yeah, it is.
You are still...
It's responding to a need, but because then I'm imagining a world where you get like, a organization. Mm-hmm. Say, like, a Bene Gesserit-style organization. Right. Because we've all watched Dune now.
Yeah.
Right? If you haven't watched Dune... Stop this and go watch Dune.
Also,
part one and two.
Also, the audiobook is very well done. I'm listening to it right now. It's very well done.
Yeah. But the Bene Gesserit, like a very, you know, like they are now cultivating children mm-hmm. to who they want to get a specific body mod for. So they're training them to somehow manifest a need.
Yeah.
To be like, we will make it so that your brain, like, you need to see the future. We will, like, do something. We have figured out the secret to make these tumors respond to that need
yep.
through some act that we're doing to, yep. like, force it to happen.
Yep.
And that seems interesting, but potentially, like, it, and I guess if you want that to be a thing, that's pretty cool. But mm-hmm. I think it could also be really fun to just have it be like, there is no control over it. You cannot influence it at all. And reducing the desire of people to want to influence it because there isn't, because like it can't give you like brain powers. You can't like, you can't have a big conspiracy thing. That could be kind of cool. But then like an army might try to cultivate people who can become super strong.
Well, think of the Sadokar and like, or growing up on Arrakis. It's like, oh, this planet, the environment
yeah.
that evolves this thing. But also remember that this is a spirit. It does have sort of a will of its own. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's not
the spirit
fully compliant, but it's like, that's why I say
it responds to the spirit might avoid like something.
The spirit sort of, as it chooses it or settles into its final form, it's sort of like trying to read and react to its host. Like, what does this person need? What does this thing
And it could need? Also say, oh, I'm being influenced by something outside yeah. of my host. Nope.
Right.
I'm going to do something. I'm not going to let you influence me.
Right.
And maybe they've evolved to, they now know that there is a game is afoot.
Right.
That people are trying to influence them to make the body mod be what they want it to be.
And so you could do this in this, I deliberately left what the things are a little bit vague so that if you wanted them to be bioengineered creatures in a sci-fi world, you could do that.
Yeah.
If you wanted them to be spirits summoned by a warlock and bonded to an infant, you could do that. If you wanted them to just be, hey, when a child is born and it is, so too is a spirit born and the spirit just attaches like Miyazaki style. It just happens. No one explains it. You can do that too. But the point is that everyone has. I loved that introduction in Philip Pullman when he's, when Lord Azrael is walking around and he meets Lyra and Lyra's demon Pan, I think, meets. I always remember the name of his.
This like tiger leopard thing.
His snow leopard is like Stelmaria or Stellamaris or something. I just thought that was a great name.
Yeah.
And Stellamaris like growls at Pan and makes him. I was like, that's a cool thing. Like this thing is a reflection of the person
and it's bonded with them so intimately and it's like it's a part of them, and then you create a sense of pride for whatever the body mod is.
That's right.
If somebody has been given a toothpick finger, they were like, well, I'm proud of this is what I got,
right?
Like, and there might be like a sense of you get the character of arc of the evolution of how they feel about it. Like, right. Oh, I'm ashamed of the toothpick
of my needle. And then you start realizing all of the incredible things you can do with it.
And you start to realize that like, oh, not everybody has like a big bombastic thing. And a big bombastic thing isn't always what you want.
Right.
Sometimes you want to be subtle. You want people to underestimate you. All types of shit can come out of that. Say you do this as a TTRPG.
Right.
And you say, everybody gets to have a body mod open-ended. Say you get to come up with your own and like why you have it. And then you really, and you encourage them,
mm-hmm.
do something a little bit strange, do something that isn't super powerful.
Right.
And like play with character around that.
Yeah.
Play with the toothpick finger, become a rogue that toothpick finger and like mm-hmm. do the lock picking, make it so that, you know, be like, oh, well, like, I don't know. What's come with another weird body mod? That doesn't seem obviously practical.
That doesn't seem obviously practical. Your mouth becomes a beak.
Sure. I really don't know how that could be ever be practical.
Well, maybe, I mean, for me, it's a variation of the of, like I said, the indestructible teeth before. Now you have a third. You can cut through things. You can bite through things. You have.
True. It's hard. People can't read your lips.
People can't read your lips when you,
like,
talk.
There's some benefits. Like, yeah. Like that you can create out of that. Oh, he's Beak Man. You know, like,
yeah,
he's famous all across the city for having a beak.
Right.
He's the only guy who has that. What the fuck's wrong with him?
And maybe it gives you the ability to perfectly imitate somebody else.
Oh, yeah. That's like, that's good.
It could be like, play around with it. Like, it doesn't have to one-to-one line up.
But yeah, but it's. And then you and then playing around with, like, what's the backstory? Why do you have this?
Right.
Could be, oh, like, all your bones are like jelly. Like, you know, like, you are Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you were, like, you know, tragic backstory. Kid was bullied a lot when he was young. And so to protect himself, he just, like, the evolution became, well, you can't hurt me.
Right.
Because I'm elastic.
Right.
You try to hit me. I'm just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to play around a lot with the character for the past and the future. Yep. I think it's pretty cool.
And it's a unifying element. Everyone in this world has it.
Everybody's got something.
Or everyone in this people. It doesn't have to be the
whole
world.
And then the funny descriptors you get to give people of you walk in this room and describing everybody with their weird body mod. Yep. And then the guy is just like, and his head is square.
Yeah.
Why? Don't ask.
It is.
It's just square. We don't know why.
But turns out that guy... his brain is actually a living computer. But that's it.
If you look at the back of his head, you see a Macintosh apple.
He only eats apples one bite at a time.
That would be a funny little pun to build into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, I think that's a great idea. I think it does feel new. It was a good combo of a couple different things, like a couple inspirations you had there. So
yeah, there were a few in there. There's a little bit of X-Men in there. There's a little bit of
His Dark Materials, obviously.
His Dark Materials, a little bit of Spider-Man, a little bit of Witchblade. Like, I was just thinking, like, I like the idea. The two ideas that I think are fun are, one is a body mod that is reactive. It responds to
and
either becomes something that is reflective of your true inner spirit or responds to a need. And then I like something that grows with a character. Those are my two favorite things.
Got it. All right.
What about you? Talk to me about
Sauron's open for business.
I was going to say capitalist Sauron, but really Sauron was probably more the capitalist.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean,
literally.
That's his whole shtick.
Yeah.
The
fires of industry.
Yeah. All right. But so Sauron might be inaccurate thing. I'm going with rings. Powerful rings. That was the play. And going for rings that are permanent.
Okay.
Because they replace a band of your finger.
Okay.
So each ring you put on, you permanently lose that part of your finger. Going all the way up. So you could remove an entire finger by just placing rings on it, where it just, like, magically basically removes that, and it is a permanent fixture now.
Okay.
And you could have your entire, all 10 of your fingers could just be like metallic rings clinking into each other, and you could remove the fingertips if you wanted to.
Yeah.
People don't, because it's too many mods.
Yeah.
But each of these rings is, think of it like loot in a in a video game where you just like you keep adding in, like, well, this gives me +2 to dex, this gives me +2 to this.
It's like that mod in Skyrim that lets you wear as many rings as you
want. Like, this gives me 50 HP, this lets me cast the spell, this gets me, and just, like, you just stack them up, and they're varying levels of power, but people just do that because you can, and you have, like, a limited number of slots, which is, like, the level at which you're uncomfortable wearing, like, having that many rings, because you are, like, it'll feel relatively normal, but when they keep stacking up on top of each other, people will space them when they start out, because once you lock in it, it, like, cinches and it locks in and it's done, and, like, so you can put bands of skin between them. And that's what you prefer to do, because if they're on top of each other, it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So people know, like, yeah, like, if you get to 20, you're kind of tapped out. You don't want to do more than that unless you, like, and if anybody's played Cyberpunk the like the Atom Smasher character, the character that like becomes far more robot than person because they body mod themselves into oblivion and you can't recognize a human being underneath it all. You could go that direction, but most people don't.
So that's an important question. Is there something about this craft, this magic, this technology, whatever you want to call it, that is limited only to doing it on fingers and or presumably toes? Like, could I do it with my whole body? Could I have arm bands and leg bands and neck bands?
I think in theory, sure.
What about piercings? Same deal?
I think probably same deal. I think the way I was thinking about it was that you would probably have a more universal approach, like a ring, but not everybody will have hands or necessarily have fingers. So like you might have alternatives, but that there'd be kind of like a economies of scale situation of like every like magical smith that knows how to do these, just like it is a conservation of material. It is just simpler. You have the molds, you do them in rings.
Right. So maybe it's a status symbol then, like everyone can get a ring, but if you have a piercing or like an ear,
I think like the neck band I think an arm band would be like particularly like, but then there's like, and I don't know if it's like, so say you got an arm band and you like gain muscle.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens with like, does the band stay the same size? Your fingers are relatively going to stay in the similar like ballpark. Even if you hulk up, you're not going to get huge fingers by comparison. Yeah. So I was going for like also just the stability of the size. Because you know, if you wither away and you had a big arm band and now is it like sticking way out of your arm? It might be like there's a lot of a risk there of like it could be really fucking weird if your weight changes dramatically because you've got this permanently stuck magical thing and maybe it's like it locks into
that's cool.
it locks in with the skin and can move with the skin. But I wanted it to be like where you couldn't just like maybe you could just flay somebody and take it off and be like, well, this is mine now.
Yeah.
I take these body mods, I add them to myself.
Yeah.
You can, you know, then that's people are like, when they go and they kill dead bodies and to loot them, you have to cut off the finger.
Right.
To disconnect the skin because now the rings can come back off.
Yeah.
Because as long as the skin is intact or like the bone or I don't know, something like that, that it is the ring can't be removed. But, and I was thinking about this from as a way to like,
yeah.
If you're running an RPG or something and you want to be like, you're leveling up, here's a ring. And it's just permanent small bonuses.
So you can't replace them. You can't exchange them. Like if I get one that's like a +1 HP,
it's on
and then I get another one that's a +2, I can't replace the +1 with a +2.
You just get +3. Okay. Yeah, because...
Limits on this type of thing are important.
I see a world where you can remove it. That could also be cool. But it could be like, it's tattoo removal.
Yeah.
It's hella expensive and it hurts.
It's very painful. Yeah.
It's very painful. It's like, it'd be 10 times worse than getting it applied. And in my mind, this isn't a painful process to get the body mod because it's like, there's the stress of put it exactly where it needs to be because the second you let go, it pounces and it's done.
And it's cool to think about what you just said makes me think about, you know, when I was shopping for an engagement ring for my now wife and now a wedding ring for myself, like looking at all the different styles and shapes of bands,
yeah,
like you could have them be just very simple straight rings.
Yeah.
You could also have them be very intricate shapes
exactly.
So that they all fit together, right? Like in different ways and create almost, you know, like maybe some are more flexible designs than others, right?
There's
a utilitarian version versus an artistic version. It could be a fashion statement as well. If this is commonplace, then wouldn't it also become a fashion statement?
I think that's really cool. I didn't think about the way they would like network together. Like essentially you go in and say, I know what I want all my rings to do at the end.
Yeah.
And then you kind of map it out. I'm going to get all these rings like on my fist that will like be like a skull or some shit.
Yeah.
Like it will create some sort of message to the world or some sort of like statement piece. That's like the lieutenant of the mob boss who's definitely got like, you know, like fuck and you written out on his fists, but like permanently like love there.
And hate.
Yeah. Like people get doing something like that.
Yeah.
Or you get them in the shape of a rune.
Yeah.
And the rune also then unlocks like an extra magic slot of some kind.
Be
like,
sure.
You are now able to cast this spell or like a teleportation thing through your hand at all times because you've got this like arcane rune, because the rings you used had both the pattern and they used the material that could be used in the body mod, but it also, but it's also like, you know, whatever the fucking powerful magic ore is that people or gems that people use in this world of like, oh, it's made out of runestone. So now you can actually use it as magic if you put it together, you know, really.
And that would be cool to do as an RPG mechanic, because then you could say, all right, you can get individual ones that are not networked together, right? Or you can save and save and save and then do a whole like gauntlet type thing that is maybe doesn't get you the, let's say, total plus 10 HP, but it lets you cast Fireball at the end, because the rune itself needs your whole hand to be spelled out. It's so complex.
Yeah.
Or like a transmutation circle in Full Metal Alchemist, right? Like you need the whole physical area to do it.
It's like a common thing in any like loot based video game, like loot based RPG, where you have set items. So if you can get the full set, you get set bonuses. If you get like two pieces of the 5-piece set, you get a smaller set bonus, and then they accumulate, and you get the whole set, you get like an extra cool thing. And like if you can get all these rings to like match up in some way, then you like, well, you get the big set bonus now, and you create this like this incentive to be just like, go collect that specific ring. You got to go kill that guy. He's got one of those rings. It's like, you know, the Legend of the Five Rings or whatever, which this is not the plot, the Legend of the Five Rings. I don't actually fully understand it. I've seen Colville's video on it. I forget it, but apparently excellent story, but like
it's very cool.
There's a family of like mob boss guys, there's five sons, they've all got a ring. If you kill all of them and you get all the rings, and like each one adds more power to the set, and then like all of a sudden
very JRPG stuff,
and all of a sudden that one finger, if you say you get five, so you put them on one on each finger, regardless of anything else on that hand, that hand becomes like hand of God. Like it becomes a magma gauntlet. It becomes, you know, like you
a lava pinky.
Yeah, lava pinky. Boop, shout out to the burned.
Yeah, I think that's a super cool idea. And all this talk about like rings that sync together versus rings that don't. You could tell a very funny, potentially stupid, potentially really cool allegory story about...
Allegory story.
About Apple as a company versus other like open source technology, right? Like Apple's technology, like you have to buy Apple products. They work the best together.
Yeah.
They don't sync well outside of each other, but they sync really well. Like there are incentives
to
continue to stick to that. Like think about it in terms of technology ecosystems.
Yeah. As an Android user, I'm very familiar with this.
Absolutely. Experience. But that's exactly my point. It's Apple versus Android.
Yeah.
And like you could have people that, I have all the gold V-shaped rings and these all work together and maybe it's a status symbol, but then there are people out there that are doing open source, open code rings.
And they've got they have rings that are all mismatched, but they're way more powerful. Like they do very different things, and you can't predict what they can do, because like you see the five gold V rings and you're like, well, I know what you're capable of doing.
Right.
You see a smattering of random rings. Like, I don't know what that guy actually has on there.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause for pause.
Yeah. And
it would just be a cool little way to make a fantasy world or our world. Make it relatable.
A story that I was thinking about in there is like, because we have now referenced the burn, which is our favorite idea we've ever come up with, is the burn. There's a whole episode about it in a different format, but it's our favorite thing.
Still cool.
It's still cool. But as a recap for those who haven't listened, you bastards, that episode, we talked about it, an order that would remove their pinky by burning it in the lava, and then
they would dip it in the lava.
They would dip it in the lava, so it would be like permanently like burned, molten. but burned off and whatnot. So
and replaced with a molten
core that they can like use,
manipulate.
And you know, it's more articulated in that moment. But the idea of it becomes commonplace that gambling, people will gamble a ring.
Oh, that's
cool. And then people will, I think Yakuza do this where they have to cut off a finger.
Oh, do they? I didn't know that.
I saw it in some TV show and I was like, that felt, and it's about the Yakuza. And I was like, that feels real.
Yeah.
That felt too real. Like that has to be what actually happens. Huh. It's like if they shame themselves, if they fuck up or some way, they have to remove their finger and it's intense. The Yakuza are crazy.
They're intense.
They're really interesting. We need better English documentaries on that because I want to actually see more about them. Yeah. Anyway, but people you just take like a sword or a knife and you have to cut off that part of your pinky and that ring is now disconnected and it is now up for grabs for that person. Like that person can take their prize and maybe there becomes like a whole industry of people like regrowing fingers.
Maybe.
And like that becomes like a medical advancement. So you just deal with the pain and the loss and the pride or whatever. But maybe it's like people just slowly whittling away a full finger because they keep gambling.
Or they cut it off and the ring then falls off and then they have to go and get it reattached. If you remove a finger.
You remove just part of the finger.
I see. I misunderstood.
So you're like, you're chopping off the end.
Yeah.
Not the full finger.
Got it.
It might be the full finger if the bet was that big.
If the bet was that big, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But really adding the visceral vibe of, I'm thinking of like, I've been, if you couldn't tell, I'm thinking about the mob in this one for some reason. The dingy like crime den.
Yeah.
What is this? Where I feel like the body mods will be really out in style. How are they interacting with it?
So, that's super. I dig that. That's super cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's that idea. Now let's go to a lightning round.
Lightning round.
You go.
There is a secret order of necromancer wizards and or maybe priests, clerics that deal with healing magic and resurrection magic that specialize in replacing, basically turning people into Frankensteins, of putting someone else's eyes in your head so that if they have very good vision, you can see them. If someone is very strong, has very big arms, you can have your arm replaced and attached with a dead person's arm and have it magically done and sewn onto you. And so you basically turn yourself into a Frankenstein.
Okay, cool.
That's it. It's dark. It's simple, but it works and it's kind of creepy, which is kind of my vibe. Cool. What about you?
I had an idea and then I forgot it because I thought of it at the beginning of this episode because I didn't have it coming in. I have another idea now that is weak, but fine probably for a lightning round. So I think I'll just go with it. All right, I'm going with body mod being wholesale body change.
Okay.
And have you ever seen the movie The Lobster?
No.
Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz. It's very good. It's very much a commentary on people having to get married. Because if you go to this place and if you don't get married by like the end of like a 3-week period, if you don't find your partner and get married, they will turn you into a lobster and then you'll be put out to sea or whatever. Something like that. It's very weird and very, very fun. Funny. Not, it's like fucked up in many ways. But then taking that idea and taking like a druid idea of a druid that turns people into an animal at their own, like on their own will. Like, I want to be a bird. And they're like, all right, I'll turn you into a bird. Fine. And then it's like a permanent wild shape thing. Like, yeah. Because it's not polymorph. It's like,
yeah,
it's like you will be wild shaped into this thing. And if you ever want to change back, you can come to me, man. It will be a long process, but we can do it. But otherwise, I'll just change you into a bird. I'll change you into a sheep. I'll change you into a bear. Yeah. And like people can like be like, I will modify your body to be whatever it needs to be as long as it's an animal.
Right.
But it could be any animal.
But it's a whole animal.
Whole animal. And that's like permanent. So you could just permanently be a bee. You can permanently be a beaver or a raccoon or a squirrel.
Druids are a rich area for this because it would be very easy to say, okay, I'm going to make you an arm of stone. I'm going to grow you a new leg out of trees and ivy.
Yeah,
and
absolutely
replace it. That like druids are rich. Also, they have nature magic, which like the body's a natural thing. Maybe druids once again. Druids are
pretty much the answer to most of our problems.
Yeah.
Ecoterrorist druids. Bring them in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you.
We did not discuss what stuck for us.
Good point. All right, Ethan, what stuck for you?
You fucking that up is what stuck for me.
I have to leave that in now, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You do. You gotta leave.
Damn it. It's 9:30.
We're very sleepy. This whole conversation, I just love this whole topic. I think it's so cool. I think there are ways to do it that are so interesting. Like,
what stuck for you?
The whole thing, man. I could just talk about this for so
pick
long.
Pick a thing. That's not how this works. You gotta pick a thing.
Okay, I can. So one is I really like the Apple versus Android idea. Okay. I think that's very cool. Like to talk about, if we're talking about deliberate body mods here, right? Like, and a commercial product.
Yeah.
Yes, that is something. Is, you know, like open source access to magic and technology. Like if we replace technology with magic, that is absolutely a debate that would happen.
Yeah.
Where people would say, no, magic, like the right to repair,
yeah,
the right to reforge is huge.
The right to reforge.
The right to reforge, right? Like that would be huge out there. That is absolutely a debate that would happen in this world.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's so foundational and simple and mundane. That I fucking love it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. What about you?
I get behind that. I think I really like your idea, and I like the idea that it. I like. As I discussed, I think it creates such good fodder for character design of what body mod did you get and why did you get it, and. Especially in those obscure, strange body mods.
Yeah.
Not the low-hanging fruit of, like, you basically just give yourself a superpower.
Right. You become Spider-Man or Wolverine.
Like, what do you do with this weird thing that you have now? This mod that you didn't expect, you didn't really think you wanted, but now you have it, and how do you cope with that, and what do you do with it? Because it's permanent, it's a part of who you are, and it's a point of pride, and it should be.
Right.
That, as a pasture to Roman, seems so cool, and I like the toothpick finger thing as like the example that we came up with. But like, that's just an example. There are so many interesting things that you could do. The beak is fun too, you know. Like there's a lot you can do with that, and I think that's pretty cool. So. Yeah,
no, it and it's a fun way to show commentary also on, you know, these when we're talking about D&D, for example, right? You know, everyone knows that flight is very overpowered, and so a lot of people will ban Arakocra, like any of the flying races. But it's like, yeah, flying also turns you into a gigantic target immediately. So like, yeah, you might think it's super cool. Oh, I want wings, I can fly.
But now everyone can see that you can fly.
And you know what? They're gonna try and take you down.
Yeah. So subtle is sometimes nice.
Sometimes better. Yeah. It's a cool way to tell that story.
Yeah. Okay. Now
that is what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you.
Thanks.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye. You know, sometimes you just miss. Whatever, man.